I don't know.
Look at it. That's the answer, I think.
Well, feel what there is to feel, mm-hmm. for as long as you might be interested in feeling what there is to feel. Right? I mean, it's not a solution.
I thought you were like,
I mean, the demand is transcendent, right? The consciousness is transcendent. All sensation, all association and assignment is truly a transcendent, liberating event. But when we make it mine, right? When we encapsulate it as what do I need to do about myself, about anything at all, then it's personalized. Then it's personalized.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is fine.
I'm fine with,
right? It's not like it's fine or not fine. That's not the issue. It's just we look, let's say, deeply, as undefendedly as we can, at the geometry of the entirety of the experience, without having to resolve or justify, without having to get away from, right? In other words, say we give ourselves permission to suffer.
We'll find that out then.
If it's accompanied by, you know, something you would call suffering, it's like, okay.
Ah, that's the cream.
Yeah. You know? It has come up in my mind now that I'm such a great planner.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
you want something
like,
to plan.
What are you planning for?
Like your life.
I'm planning on having a baby.
Oh, right. Who's the inseminator?
The universe.
That's an immaculate conception.
The second coming.
Ah, it's not
really
immaculate.
Finally.
Really, it's the non-immaculate conception.
Yeah, really. It better not be immaculate.
That will just blow Jeff's whole theory of life.
Wanted seed maker.
Like the guy standing on the corner, honk, if you suck at fantasy football, you can stand up there.
So I think I've gone into that mode, and it's not appropriate at this time. You know what I mean? My natural planning, what is the word?
Maybe it's just like a way of it showing you like the geometry of what's actually occurring. So if you think you're a good planner and you keep going along with that, you're going to think you're planning shit for a long time. You know what I mean? Like you have to kind of,
maybe
there has to be a hole in there that you see in some
it is.
Aspect.
Yes. It's like,
so
I
you can be like, oh,
right. It's
I'm
sort of
not
like
sure
saying,
if I'm actually like what, you know, it's getting funky.
Right. It's like saying, you know, you think that's a good thing and it's not going to work. So.
In the conversation over here, we're talking about change. Does change exist? This is my premise. If there is no reference that you carry from one moment to the moment you're now evaluating, oh, this is different.
Yeah.
Well, how do you know it's different if you don't have some sort of thing that you in your backpack to make this comparison? You know.
Does change require the path?
Change it requires some reference.
Yeah.
There's new stuff on the menu.
Oh, well, then I should look, huh?
Three little pigs. That's how I saw. I'm like, oh, no, no. Three little pigs.
You're the three blind mice.
Now that Cecil's dead, is there any, like, lion stew?
No, it's just three little pigs.
Oh, that's
pork belly burger.
Oh, that's in the lunch
oh
section.
My God. Oh, barbecue pulled boar.
Oh, there you go.
That actually sounds really good, but I would just go, I don't know if I can do it. Frizzle beans, like, that's a lot of meat.
One's cold, and one's pitched all together.
Can I have the grilled chicken sandwich and fresh fries? And better.
French toast with bacon and a glass of milk for when the food comes, please. I guess I didn't see if I brought money, huh?
What kind of quiche do you have?
His ham is getting off. Ham is finished.
No, he said no. That's it.
Yeah, it's kind of dry.
It's over. I'll try the hot mess. I've never tried that.
Okay.
How about you? Ham, Swiss tomato omelet.
Sweet tomato?
Yeah.
And yet there is this sensation of almost curling through space. Just in a regular life.
Can I add two eggs to my order, actually? I'm trying to think if there's a good scrambled in the hot mess. That's what I'm thinking. Make it an extra hot mess.
Okay.
Good measure.
Make a mess.
You reminded me.
They could do that, if they wanted. Cool. Thanks.
Comes with a pancake, no butter.
Ain't no butter.
How's the Emily girl doing?
She's really doing very well. Yesterday she tried to make vegan bread.
Yeah.
I usually see in my kitchen.
Oh, really?
But she gets an A for effort. You know, so she's cooking and...
So she's a determined vegetarian or vegan?
Well, she's just learning. So... I don't think she's going to be real strict about it, but she's trying to learn all this stuff. She makes ice cream now, vegan ice cream. It's really good. And it's easy. So, she's trying to be more independent. So she can get out.
Seems like ice cream making is not a key skill for independence.
But just cooking and, you know. This ice cream is with bananas and peanut butter. So it's a meal.
Now you got my attention.
It's breakfast.
Put some of that hot sauce on top of it and we're good to go.
Oh, that's right. I got to make another batch. That thing got sort of like cleaned out.
Let's make a big batch.
Yeah, I like your idea about how to deal with the garlic.
Well, when you find a free day, give me a shout. We'll make a big batch.
Yeah, and then maybe I combine it with ripping that roof off.
Why not?
Buy a little what?
Ripping the roof off. It's a whittle roof.
It's a whittle roof?
Not a big one. Yeah, I wouldn't want to do too much in one day, but a whittle roof would be a
whittle roof. A whittle roof or a whittle roof?
Yes. The root for the silly wabbit.
You can only think worse than Dave on comments and 40 big actions.
I'm going to get you, you showy wabbit. Okay. All right.
Way too much excitement for Sunday morning. How was that concert last night?
There you go. That's right. It's Stones. Stone on
Good.
Stone. Cover band. Or what do you call it?
Tribute.
A tribute band.
Where was this at, Tim?
Sellersville.
Is that your monkey?
No, not this time around. But the audience was calling for it.
Were they really?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it's called? I don't recall that.
Monkey Man.
Probably nice to hear.
We want to do something with this. I mean, it's too much fun to leave alone.
That's true.
So the fully baked Gianni doesn't want to do anything with this anymore. it's like it's become, you could say it's become so self-engulfingly immersive, right? Mm-hmm. Fulfilled beyond measure, that there's just that natural withdrawal from the frolicking nature of phenomena. So one doesn't want to do anything with this anymore. But you know, not that many folks, even ones that might be enamored of something as weird as liberation, would want to end up there. Because we want to do something about this, with this, about ourselves, with ourselves. We want to extract, participate, conjure, solicit experience.
Yeah, I feel like it's part of, it's a presupposition that we can have fun, and so we think we can do something.
And we do. I mean, look, you know, I mean, everyone on Earth today, regardless of their so-called circumstances, and so many are in less than ideal circumstances, but still everyone's having as much fun as they possibly can, right, within the allotment of their socioeconomic, racial, gender, etc. class. Right? I mean, if you're living on the outskirts of Calcutta and you're not working and you get one bowl of rice a day through some, you know, miracle, well, you smoke beedies and play cards with your friends and it's not a bad day.
I've had many a days in between work, a bit of chess. But how would you know the difference
between
someone invested in experience and someone that's just, hey, I got a palette that experiences and I'm going to play with it?
Oh,
you see what I mean?
Well, how would you know the difference if that were occurring in someone other than you or you?
Oh, that's right. I guess it would have to be me.
Well, that's when it makes the most sense, right?
Right? Otherwise, it's just an extension or projection of self.
Yeah, I mean, you could hang out with someone that has, let's say, withdrawn from interest in phenomena for fun. You know, for the bizarre camaraderie of hanging out with someone that's withdrawn from phenomena. You may not ever be convinced that they have or haven't, even if they tell you that they have or haven't. It's always, you know, comes back to, right, your experience.
Right, so it's basically an extension of what I see.
Yeah, what you see,
experience.
How you feel, what the involuntary interpretive mechanisms are that are roiling about in your head that define or impose some kind of justification or pleasure field on the, right, plenum of experience. Oh, I'm a body. Oh, I'm a mind. Oh, I'm a man. Oh, I have money. Oh, I don't. Oh, I want to have a companion. Oh, right? The next IMAX sounds great. Oh, I want to travel to Africa. You know, I want to shoot my own lion. I want to create a foundation that makes sure that no lion is ever shot again.
Well, that song, I don't know if you ever heard it. Ah, I'm a mummy. Has no idea who did it or why.
I like that.
I had a 45. The teacher borrowed and never gave it back.
Well, yeah, it was that good. Ah, I'm a mummy, yeah. Uh-huh. You see how how quickly, right, mind wafts into presence, let's say, and conjectures a world. And we become very insistent.
We use your word vector, and I imagine that vector being this point, which is unquestionable, and then when it expands out, it becomes fanciful in many different ways from that point.
Yeah.
Imagination and creativity and memory.
Yeah, that's right.
Future.
All of that is at your disposal. Not that you're, you know, operating the controls or choosing how that plays out for you. You know, we might insist on having all kinds of freedoms, but if you just look at your own consciousness, how free is it?
follow someone.
That's what I like about meditation. I'm not trying to do anything. And doing happens, or not doing happens, and it's like, okay. Getting caught in a track happens. Being free from a track.
Oh, yeah.
Although, it's also true when you say nothing is happening, because when you say nothing is happening, that triggers, if something is happening, I'm already collecting data.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and putting it through the comparison.
Oh, yes. Network. Right. And so that could be useful to see, is the profundity of the, you could say, reflex or ongoing apparatus of collecting data, right, and then running it through an interpretive mechanism, which makes it appear as if this is existent, you're existent, and you're either enjoying or suffering change.
That is how the world is created.
Yeah, you could, right? Yeah, from that point of view, you could say the world, if there's a world, is created, you know, somewhat like that, which is a different take than, you know, the Big Bang idea, even though they have their poetic dovetail.
Well, you can chop that into bizarre fractal metaphor in so many ways. That could be your birthday. That could be the creation of the entire universe.
Oh, yes.
You know, every data filter is...
Yeah. Yeah, that could be
a creation in some ways.
Absolutely. That could be the presumption that something's happening right now, and, you know, as soon as I get out of this breakfast environment, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to do something with myself. An appointment, you know, sunlight, ice cream, a walk, errands. Right, I got this mapped out, baby. I got this mapped out.
Grandiloquence.
Yes. That too.
Did you say grandiloquence?
Close enough.
That's what you suffer from.
Yeah. That's cool. He seems aware of it. You know, he's pointed it out. Yeah. So.
Really.
I'm proud of that D I got.
I got an F minus.
Really? So. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Negative conduct.
Way more creative.
That was really awesome.
Criminal conduct.
F minus. That's phenomenal.
Never heard of such a
thing. Couldn't be worse. Not possible.
So we do end up with all kinds of satisfactory and unsatisfactory events and circumstances as we're playing with this from the vantage point of a life lived. You know, no one could argue that there's a life lived going on. And that trivial things happen and non-trivial things happen, and sometimes you're satisfied with yourself and sometimes you're not, and things go your way, but most things don't.
And from second to second, it's, you know, total disaster.
Yeah.
5 minutes can turn around. They're like, this is pretty good.
Yeah. You can get a, you know, a few bliss moments there and say, wow, why don't I live my life to maximize the bliss moments? Well, because I have to work and I have to buy clothes and I have to take a shower and, Jesus Christ, you know, I have to talk to my mom on the phone or Jesus Christ on the phone, whatever. So, right, everything that appears, I mean, all the talking heads, right, on the TV and the sports broadcasters and the celebrities and the musicians and the movie makers and the politicians and the news services and all the counterpoint to all the nurse news services and all the trolls on the internet and, you know, all of the mind control that's going on from the corporatocracy and the democracy and all the crusties is just a big party house, right? Party, party. And if we're enrolled in a life lived and consider it my life lived, then, you know, all of the cacophony, all of the musicality of experience is clearly right at your disposal. Now, if that's satisfying to you, rock on. if for some strange reason you notice a tinge of dissatisfaction with this party, well, now you're in trouble. And then we apply all of this, call it, you know, egoic demand, egoic urgency on the party, so the party will grant me, right, the best possible outcome or outcomes for my life lived. Right? Even within the very narrow framework, let's say, of remaining in Bucks County as a registered if you're lucky enough, as a registered sex offender. I was going to say
first thing that came to my mind,
what's that political party that
libertarian?
Yeah, as a registered libertarian, right. So my happiness is I remain in Bucks County, right? I get buried somehow at some Soulberry, you know, cemetery near the Friends, and I remain a registered libertarian for the long haul. That's how I think. Right? And that's a win. Woe is me. Or you might become an extreme sports enthusiast, put on a squirrel suit, and get crushed to death on your first jump.
I missed something there.
You know? Go Rocky. Go Rocky on this shit. Go to a cliff, put on your GoPro, put your wings out. Leap.
They actually do have squirrel outfits where you can fly.
Yeah. Okay.
Like a flying squirrel.
That's fun to me.
With a parachute at the end. But.
Yeah.
None of us would do it.
There's a parachute at the end.
If you make it
to the end. And those guys, and I guess I don't know how many women do this sport, but you know they perish fairly frequently.
Yeah. It's a good way to go, though.
I live with arugula.
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
He tends to be forgetful about what he's ordered.
Mushroom and broccolini.
I have mushroom, broccoli, and ham.
That's it. And then I have the tomato and...
That's
you want me to put that down?
That's the ham, tomato.
Got it.
This
is hot.
Great, yeah. Thanks.
Well, one, speaking of my experience.
Yeah.
The pattern is repeating. And I just get, it's like a new, I think it's a new niche, a new issue, a new something, but it's really not. It's just repeating.
Yeah.
Like you stupid idiot.
Yeah.
You did it again.
It's repeating so well that you don't even notice that it's repeating.
It gets a little subtler, so.
Uh-huh.
So it's not to raise my, I can't think of the word, suspicion, right?
That's right. It wants to stay under the radar of your suspicion, mm-hmm. so that it can move merrily along. Without
and as
any...
long as it's moving merrily along, I'm on board. You know what I mean? Give me the merriment, and I'll go that way.
Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
How's that phrase go? Doing the same thing, expecting different results.
Insanity.
Insanity over and over, expecting a different result.
Yeah.
But I have nothing else to do, right?
Apparently not. Yeah. You know, the pursuit of liberation, which you could say is, you know, Buddhist monkey see, monkey do.
Okay. That's a hot mess.
Huh?
That's here.
That's her.
Where is she? She's missing. Grilled chicken sandwich?
Right here. Can I get some mayonnaise and ketchup too, please?
You sure can. French toast? There you go. We'll be right there with that. I get bacon too.
Okay.
That's true, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The result that, oh yeah, I did the same thing, I got the same thing in response, and I like it.
Oh yeah.
Expecting anything to be anything, you can tell me.
And tomorrow you say, yeah, this isn't so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We need to break ourselves. And changing the mind of what we're pleasing.
You don't really want to luxuriate in. Let us know if you need the Heimlich maneuver. This is the choking symbol right here.
I'm not going to be able to eat.
Yeah, we'll start your funeral procession even before you're cold.
I don't need a funeral. I'm going out with him.
You may ask funeral.
I good. You should
planning
go
on donating my body to science. Go straight to funeral.
Saves a lot of money. Helps people. Yeah.
Coffee.
You're welcome.
Is
that over there?
You can add here. Excuse me. I need bacon and milk, too.
Bacon and a glass of milk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Decaf coffee?
You don't want my syrup. I'm insulted.
No, that tastes good.
I didn't stick my tongue in there.
Had you done that, I probably would have taken it.
Well, I can do that now if you like. All right.
They served it correctly.
Okie
doke. And that's the real deal, right? Real maple.
Yeah.
Not Aunt Jemima's.
I need that milk.
You have water?
Of course, now that Dave's gone, you never know if you're going to be a change Aunt
Jemima. Oh, my.
It seems like even if you just really fully, fully admit the unpredictability and uncontrollableness of this,
okay,
you're done. And that would be enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because if you really guess that, it's not like you don't get hit with it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
If you really guess that, the game's off.
Could be.
Like to relax into just whatever is about the only response that makes any sense.
Well, it kind of gets weirder though. I mean, because you can still be like a person with like there's a lot of seemingly subtle dimensions to that in some level.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to be like a person with or without control, and then you can go around telling everyone how this is just doing itself, and then that's like a thing that you should, you know, do or realize or see or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got yourself a
milk. There you go, young lady.
Might as well play with it.
And your milk is coming right down. Mark's bringing it down with him.
Coffee and decaf refill?
Yeah. I told him that as well.
All right.
Thank you.
I got the coffee right here.
Oh, good. Tender and egotistical today. I'm glad it won't last.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
Fortunately not. But sometimes that's, you know.
Well,
and coffee.
I'll have decaf if you have it.
Decaf.
If you don't, that's fine.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it looks good with the eggs on it, don't you?
It's really good, actually. Yeah. I like things like in Santa Cruz, they had like a lot of scrambles where they scramble everything together. I like that.
Me too.
Like potatoes and eggs and like a fried together.
And onions and peppers.
Yeah, it's really good.
Anyone else eat that?
Can I have the cream down there?
This is the cat. Regular?
No, thanks.
Everybody good?
I'm good.
Thank you.
You want me for it?
Sure. Perfect. It's an endless loop to characterize present experience through the lens of, you know, being born. And so, since we've been educated to imagine that there is a truth, which is the contrast of not truth, then we're encouraged to find out what that truth is, you know, and commit to it somehow. But there is no truth, which is contrasted by some not truth. And the crazy power of reflection, discernment, and choice making are only apparitionally appearing. It's a tease. That's right. I'm going to put a fork in that child's eye.
Put you in the National Child Abusers list.
Yeah.
Sex offender, national.
I don't know if they have one.
Well,
when you get on it, right when you do that, I'll create one, and you'll be the first example. It'll work. You can look in your neighborhood and see who abuses children.
We don't have a readily accessible vocabulary for not this. All of our vocabulary, which are, you know, shorthand for what we think reality is it fuses out of the sense of being a person to begin with.
That's the evil of dualism.
Well, you have to stitch that together to be a person with a life.
Reality.
That is like the first step.
It's
together, human being,
tenaciousness.
Called me.
You know?
Well, it's not really the first step. First, you have to create a whole universe.
You can't really find the first step.
Say yes.
Yeah, it's an instant download of
if all is person
and world. And
if all is complete,
color and sound and light,
and effused, right, as an atemporal spontaneity, as an inclusive spontaneity, then nothing happened before anything else. which can be held responsible for the way that you experience whatever this is.
Responsibility even becomes like a meaningless word.
Well, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Like all the rest of them.
Like all the, yeah, pretty much like all the rest of them. Yeah. Right.
What I find interesting is that there's no prescription. It's not therefore do nothing or therefore do everything, therefore.
There's no therefore, yeah.
Now you're more deeply aware of the folly of
has nothing to do with anything.
That's right. I mean, that's what's kind of fun. As soon as you land, you know, it's already starting to crumble. I mean, that could be unsettling as well. I see it more as fun.
Well, you could say that might be a worthwhile exploration. Like Nan was suggesting it. As you have, let's say, an insight or an agreement into what, quote, reality might actually be presenting, then it could be a sufficiency of revelation that you change profoundly. Or it could be so terrifying that you never want to hear about it ever again for the rest of your life. Or any place in between.
That's some good bandwidth.
Yeah, plenty of bandwidth. There's plenty of bandwidth to be who you love to be, even if you don't love who you're loving to be. Mm-hmm. You can still be that way.
Such a thing as untethering from the phenomena of experience. And would that be called realization? I mean, what, you know what I mean? And that would have nothing to do at all, because the process of untethering from phenomena, how would that have anything to do with what it looks like? You know, the process, the purpose, is to untether from it.
I think maybe.
Then you would have no idea. It can't look like any expected sort of thing.
I think maybe that it's not actually processed, and that's the difference. Like, it's not a process. No, I've got some to take it.
Is that being surreptitious?
Well, you can untether spontaneously.
You can't
kind of fun.
Actually do anything.
Right? This can untether. This can do anything at once spontaneously.
I know.
Let's say you come up with a temporarily tricky or a temporarily clever metaphor. For instance, untethering from phenomena.
Right. I know what you mean when you say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's like recording.
Good question.
Untethering from a broken leg, huh?
We've seen so.
Maybe it's the mind falls off.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure that we're not even talking about the same thing anymore at all. So maybe that was
we,
better.
Yeah, we always are and we never are.
What's the comparison?
I could see untethering from the extricated stuff. I have a hard time untethering from the body.
Well, how about the body is just more head-created stuff?
In a head-created way, I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not, you know, yeah, right. I mean,
yeah,
this always has your attention,
yeah.
Whether the body's pissed or whether it's neutral or whether it's on some kind of bliss tear.
So untethering doesn't mean that you are, it doesn't mean anything changes in the phenomenal can't. That's kind of what I was trying to point to. You know what I mean? You're back to the thing. Untethering is like a process for a human that's going through stuff, and then things are getting better or something, or looking more calm, or I don't know, make up whatever. You're not pain.
Well, again, you can see how easy it is to become distracted by hypotheticals. Like, what would happen if this were to happen, or this were to happen, and how would it feel if that were to happen versus this were to happen, right? So once we engage in becoming inebriated with hypotheticals, you could say you're back in a love affair with phenomena.
Even if you're talking about untethering, that's
really
funny. It's very like.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you could say that subtle, but I don't know what the hell it is. It just seems to be a habitual mode of speaking or.
Yes. But might it be possible that whatever this is or isn't persists as it has appeared to up till now? But it's not defining. It doesn't define you.
I like that.
You don't hold yourself out or apart from whatever this is or isn't.
Anything else, guys? So far, so good.
Because holding yourself out or apart infers someone's making an effort either to hold yourself out or apart, or be inclusive.
You could say it infers everything that humans, quote, enjoy or suffer from. Yeah. I mean, what's the granddaddy of identification right about now? If this is appearing in your so-called experience and is accompanied by what we might refer to as identification, which is phenomena, world creation, consequence, time, space, I, me, my. If that's occurring in your present experience, rock on. It is just as plausible, dare I say effortless, that need not be occurring in your present experience. That there is no identification, there is no conclusion, there is no space, there is no time. There's nothing defending or defining you. That's also exactly what this is. We happen to be what we call, you know, human nature, happens to appear to be identified with the grand mellifluous presentation of phenomena in all its permutation through the filters of what we come to know as human consciousness, human meaning. But just because that may appear to be occurring doesn't mean it's true, or doesn't mean it's
the only true. This is also, without effort, perfectly liberated from genesis and consequence. With no effort at all, it's perfectly liberated from genesis and consequence. But if you're fond of imagining otherwise, take it to the bank.
Persuasions, how we can be convinced that things are a certain way, and how we can't be convinced of anything, and the dance between the two. I'm absolutely sure I'm right about Bob. Or I have no effing idea. And everything in between.
Like, and the truth has to be both.
Yeah, that's
still like phenomenal. Okay.
There is.
I don't know what words.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. There's no.
I mean?
There's no truth.
Simultaneously, all and nothing.
Truth and maybe I should let it go.
Well, you know, is maybe that's a little lofty, but is a little nicer than truth. Because is does not give a shit what you think about it. Truth becomes too personal too fast.
And it's usually accompanied
by a protest
sign.
Well, it's just a word like every other word.
I know.
And so what it is in my head is not necessarily what it is in your head.
Of course.
There's a relativity. A relativity to it.
Mm-hmm. And truth is my. I'm fond of the word.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nice word.
Remember that game show, Truth or Consequences?
Mm-hmm. You want
more detail? That's all I remember is the name.
Thanks.
But
absolutely.
I think of it as an all-inclusive.
Yes.
It's all-inclusive. You know?
Great.
Can you get? You know, I will.
Go to the source.
Thank you, half is fine. Thank you. But it doesn't matter because everything's all inclusive, whether you say it is or you don't say it is. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
Whoops.
When it matters, it matters. When it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter.
It never matters.
Well, unless it matters to you.
It's all mind over matter, and it matters little.
Well, my spoon is dirty. Can I use your spoon?
Mm-hmm.
Or her spoon?
You want it licked or unlicked?
Spoons ever unlicked. Unlicked.
That's right. His cleaning methods are unorthodox.
You're going to stick your tongue in the syrup.
Only, no, I said I hadn't. And you said you would rather.
That's
so
right.
That's, you know.
Why, for your
Oh, boy.
Contrary to Scott Killaby, I don't think seeking is an addiction. Even if you do it over and over and over again for the entirety of your life, it's still not an addiction. Seeking is intelligence.
As is
heroin use and bottom level alcohol.
Absolutely.
If this sucks, let me out of here.
You could, yep. Everything is intelligence.
Be something better.
Yeah.
That would imply that all seeking is seeking something more, per se, but or something different.
Well, I think away from behind suffering. That is, again, it's like all phenomena is irrelevant. So it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're seeking, taking a poop, eating.
Yeah.
Hopefully not metal.
I mean, that's why it's a very...
It's all the same...
It's a difficult sell.
I hate using the word same stuff. That sounds so
good. It's all the variance.
It's a very difficult sell. That it matters when it matters and it doesn't matter when it doesn't matter, and you're not really in a position to decide anyway. You know, it's like, well, what am I doing on this cushion for all this time? Beats me. You know, you may as well stay there or don't. When you see all of the institutions that have been created that first accuse you of being a self-loathing dumbfuck idiot and then give you a solution for a fee to try to ameliorate the accusation of your being a dumbfuck recalcitrant idiot, then you end up getting looped on that meditation cushion for the long haul. And the best you can do if you've been in the institution long enough is that instead of being in the audience, if they like you, whoever the incumbent power holders are, they might ask you to go through some kind of certification process so now that you could sit at the front of the room and spew horseshit for all of the dumb fuck idiots that haven't gotten to where you are yet.
Well, it's like if
and that's how that religion or any religion persists.
You can see the loop if meditation was all of a sudden considered to be a very addictive thing that wasn't really good for you or something, and then I could offer classes on how to not meditate and get in the front room and certify people.
Yep.
And, I mean, you know.
Yeah, right. How to stop meditating.
In 24 hours.
Yeah, the whole population's on strike. We have to do something about this. Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Everyone stop meditating. Yeah. That's right.
You know, you could make up anything, right? Oh, you guys are getting too much of a DMT drip from your meditation.
Yeah, yeah.
And now
right.
This is an addiction and it's drugs. And
turn down the DMT.
I have a program.
If the religion doesn't start off with accusation, then it doesn't really know what to do with you. In order to be enrolled in any of these, you know, elaborate ruses and elaborate pageants, you have to be incentivized. And I would say all of them, without fail, incentivize you by accusing you of being less than, insufficient to the task of living your own life, or insufficient to the bar that was set when Buddha sat under a tree, or Jesus, you know, fasted for 40 days, or, you know, someone encountered a burning bush and spontaneously etched tablets. And, of course, it goes on and on and on and on. One really wonders. It's like, okay, it's 2015, whatever that suggests. You know, the species, whatever that is, has been making a mess of things for long enough. What will it take for a cogent revelation to occur? Not that it's even necessary, of course. For the species to wean itself off of its addiction to superstition, addiction to faith, addiction to violence.
Knowing. The addiction to knowing. Something.
Thank you.
What about addiction to unknowing?
Absolutely.
Make up anything you want.
Yeah, this makes up anything it wants. I mean, just look at us. Yeah, I mean, you know, what ingredients could it have possibly found to make the likes of you? A one-off.
This is some little NASA thing the other day on TV, and they're like, we've discovered, the real exciting thing about Pluto is we've discovered a giant mass of unknown objects. And I was like, fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That's all we're doing is discovering unknown. A giant mass of unknown
objects. Yeah. Here it goes again.
Oh, congratulations, mm-hmm. NASA.
Yeah, but
how
like,
much money did we spend on that?
When you walked out your door this morning before you got in your limo,
yeah, like,
was that known? Yeah. No, that we've got down.
A giant mass of imaginary.
Yeah, pretty much everywhere objects. My eyes dart, it's just another mass of unknown objects.
That we have to explore. And we're like excited about exploring one, you know, and naming it. And
yeah, really.
It's like really funny.
Really.
No, but I would like water.
Well, this is even kind of, it's an interesting dilemma when you look at, you know, Paul Hederman's lovely body of work. You know, he uses the handles, right, of self and selfing very adroitly, very humorously, engagingly, to reveal just how frivolous and superficial the citadel of suffering is, right? That it's constructed of nothing but the meaning you assign to things, right? And that message, of course, is saturated through other bodies of work. But it doesn't obviously stop there. Because if we try to inhabit ourselves or this life that is lived through the lens of, let's say, a liberating ideation, liberating philosophy, we're going to fail. It's not going to work. And so even the most, you know, interesting, humorous delivery of the hilarity of selfing can relieve us of certain degree of self-importance, of the burden of self, of the burden of imagination. I mean, Eckhart Tolle's books were read by how many millions of people? Right? And what percent of all of that body of work, of the people that read those books, enjoyed those books, were touched by those books, you know, inspired by them, are they all happy? Did it work? Have they all become Eckhart Tolle?
I enjoy Eckhart Tolle very much. Something wrong.
Yeah.
But I have a small percentage. You know,
well, let's say everyone that read the books enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm.
12 million? Whatever. My question is, what's the deliverable?
What do you mean, what's the deliverable?
Having read the book.
Benefit.
Yeah. The outcome, the benefit, having read the book being touched by it in a deep way, which of course is lovely, it's a gift. Has everyone become Eckhart Tolle?
No, I don't think they're supposed to become. Everyone's supposed to become Eckhart Tolle.
What are they supposed to become?
I think that the purpose of his literature was to provide a reference point for presence, which some people have difficulty with. And for me personally, I found it to be beneficial. And it's not that I didn't already understand the foundation of what was going on, but it did help
it did help to offer me some insights, and I think a lot of people got benefit out of it.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed my life. I'm not completely different because I read these books, but it's enhanced my life.
Enhanced. That's kind of my question. Yeah, of all of the millions of people that read those books or watched him on Oprah Winfrey or do his, you know, televangelism, et cetera, I think it's a fair question, you know, has presence, has this body of work, this beautiful poetic articulation of presence, the reflections on the so-called pain body, guided you to the freedom, let's call it, that Eckhart Tolle enjoys?
Yeah, it has, actually. And what you mentioned with the pain body has been a part of that. Observing the pain body, for whatever reason, I don't know there are the exact reasons, but has diminished its influence over me personally.
Nice.
But I know that presence is something that we struggle with as a culture immensely, and I can understand why his works don't have as profound of an impact as perhaps
we'd like it to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, fairly spoken.
It seems to boil down to he's just doing what he's doing, and you just did what you did.
Everybody's just doing what they're doing.
So.
Yeah.
And whoever desires what someone's doing is going to gravitate towards what they're doing. And there's no really right or wrong in what anyone's doing. Right? It's all part of the show.
So what is the appeal to the texture of the I don't know a word to use. So let's say liberation. I don't know. What is it that draws people? I think to freedom, like we're looking for freedom. Because people that would be buying that book would be looking for a different feeling in life, a different experience of life.
Everybody knows there's a hole, and we're all looking for the hottest.
But is that because everybody knows what they actually are, and so, you know what I mean?
I think it's our birthright that we have a sense that there is something that's just quite fulfilling in this quote, And when everything doesn't seem to work, you know.
So, I'm wondering if it's really just itself looking for itself. So all of it, all of the appearances in their many forms, are simply doing that.
Exploring itself.
I think that's probably what it is.
Not necessarily looking for.
Yeah.
Or exploring itself.
I think it'd be too bored if I didn't do that.
Too bored.
Yeah, this oneness thing.
It's like it's a building of entertainment for the
company.
It's a fish tank.
Wanda the Fish. Let's say a certain kind of urgency occurs where the best explanation we've got, right, the most satisfying explanation that we have is it's not doing it for us anymore.
You end up in a basement.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a rubber meets the road thing. We're no longer seduced or satisfied by the hope of presence, let's say, waking up in our future. So then your mind, whatever is going on, enters into a different relationship with intimacy.
But most people come kicking and screaming into that.
I don't think most people do. I think that's an illusion. I think the people, like the lady right now, the toll booth on 476, you might not necessarily think so. Engaged in spiritual practice or thought at all, and he's just enjoying our life for whatever reason, is involved in the process. I think it's us, you know, seekers who are caught up in the process a lot of times. I think it's real, at its core, we're not even really concerned about if you're aware of it or not. It's like a flower blooms, doesn't have to think about blooming, it just blooms, it's there. It's process is just going. This is just where I come from, my world, personally. So it's like, almost to me, it seems at times like the whole spiritual seeking and development, things like that, if not monitored, can actually inhibit the process rather than that. That's been my personal experience. Because I was really ill. I was really, really ill. I mean, some of these guys have seen it get worse. I got caught up in all that all the time, concerned with it, things like that. It wasn't until I let go of just worrying about it and just started playing baseball and things like that and just getting back to my old ways that I kind of refound what it was I was looking for. That's just where I come from as a person.
I don't know if I'd call it kicking and screaming, though that can certainly look that way. You can see how distraction, right, is pouring in. So it's not necessarily kicking and screaming, it's so deliciously delusional that it's remarkably easy to move from the vantage point of personhood, space-time explanation, right? Practical and enviable unfolding in my life, my consciousness, my behavior. Makes it look like some kind of continuity is occurring, that we have benefited from our meditation and from Eckhart and from Jim Carrey and, you know, on and on.
Whether you're ill or not is kind of like a an experiment.
Absolutely.
It's kind of
Our physical illnesses, emotional, mental illnesses, if we're fortunate, the amelioration of those symptoms, right, the maturing that may occur, the letting go that may appear to occur is all, it's all fishbowl. And that may be more than satisfying for us. That, this is fishbowl, I have a cogent explanation, I see progress in my own life, I'm touched by, you know, teachers and teachings, I've got appointments of things that I can do that are affordable to me, and So I feel sated, right? Up to a point, I feel sated. I'm no longer in a panic or freaking out or angry and all the other things, all the other, you know, afflictions I used to enjoy that contributed to my severe alcohol problem. And that's great. I mean, a life that's healing from a physiological and emotional point of view is certainly a, right? It's a gracious gesture from the Creator that we suffer less. And at some time on or during that trajectory, we may be tickled by or touched by presence as a transcendent portal, as a transcendent revelation, which you could say goes beyond the practicality of how I frame my life.
Rubbery.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot rubbery.
Yeah. That's where I get
impossible to communicate. Don't you think?
Well, we do the best we can, yeah.
But I think it's impossible. But, yeah.
Well,
maybe it's impossible to communicate in one aspect, observing it in one frame of reference, but if you look at it, you're always looking all over the place. Maybe it kind of seeps into your unconscious, or it seeps into you, whatever you call it, just without even knowing.
From a creature point of view, yeah, you could say that it's impossible to communicate, but you could also say from a non-creature point of view that that's all this doing,
that's
is
right,
creating it loud and clear.
But
with no obstacle.
Along with a confused you who thinks it's clear.
Yeah.
Whatever way.
Really.
The communication is always to take a piece and to try to reveal the whole through the piece, and that's why I think it's impossible.
Well, yes, and it's also arguably holographic, so every piece is a container and reflection of the entirety. So it's perfectly possible to communicate, as that's the only thing that's happening anyway.
Yeah,
so, right, it's if you take a position, then things are possible or impossible. If you take a position, things are possible and impossible. If you take no position, things are possible and impossible.
And then there's something else other than what's present in your experience to communicate.
Yeah.
Like, that means something.
Yeah, I mean, if we're playing around with this through language or brain, or truth or untruth, or cogency or practicality, you can say it's both possible and impossible.
Well, what I'm thinking is about the quantity.
Well, yeah.
The quantity of reality.
Unidentified objects.
The vast
quantity of unidentified objects.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a problem.
It's true. Once proliferation is felt or appreciated as a quantity, and that quantity is dancing as the, you know, figure eight of subjectivity and objectivity, yeah, it has a kind of impossibility to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at, like, we just discovered some insane amount of massive objects around Pluto.
Yeah.
And we're going to, like, go into that, you know? I mean, how many years are we going to spend going into the objects and naming them and...
Just the plutonium space race.
I could get
20 billion years ago.
Yeah,
I could get a microscope and do the same thing and watch my bacterial cells multiply forever.
That's right.
And name them and put little stickies on them and color them different colors and see who eats who. I mean, you know, you can do that with anything. It's like that's all this is doing.
That's the infuriating nature of infinity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Damn infinity. God, it's just so impossible.
That's why I feel like when you're coming from the aspect of, like, human being trying to assert yourself and do something, it's overwhelming, it's exhausting, it feels, it has a heaviness to it that it's just like, holy Christ, you know, I mean, because it's like the Milky Way, and I just want to, like, get, you know, to A from B in my little car, it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
And then it feels like hard, like you're exerting. It's like a.
Do you think it's hard for the scientists then?
No, but it's not actually. It just feels that way in general if you think you're trying to command fucking. You know,
we are
a universe that's infinitely
infinite.
Yeah, like
we are the alien invasion that we've been waiting for.
We are the second coming.
Absolutely, yes.
You are. I was listening to this priest the other day on TV, and I was like, oh my god, this guy, it was so much fun to listen to him. I'm sorry, because the whole topic was the second coming of Christ, and I'm listening to him like, it's just this confused. It's like bizarre metaphor, confused to being associated with a man who's going to come again, and it's like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Anyway. Kind of funny, really.
And the Pope is coming to Philadelphia. Woo woo, and they're shutting down.
Yay,
the
traffic.
Shutting it down.
I wonder if I could rent my place in Piper'sville for like $1 million, even though it's far.
I hope so.
Only if you provide a shuttle.
You might be able to rent it to people who are renting their place.
Yeah, right.
Make it the big bucks. You'll make some of the bucks.
Yeah. I think my place is rented.
I know one person.
Airbnb.
You can rent your place to people renting their place, and then somebody
they
can rent a place to me.
That's right. That's true. As long as everybody makes a little.
Decorate with a little cross in just the perfect spot and have a nice picture.
I already have crosses. I might take down Prahlad, you know. Take down the Buddha. Find the Buddha.
We should let set up some table or something. There aren't there like sacred blessings or something. $20 a blessing.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Just go down and purposely be charlatans for fun.
Yeah, apple cider donuts. Anything.
Oh, man. Lemonade blessed by Jesus. $25. It's kosher.
Kosher lemonade blessed by Jesus.
It doesn't make sense. Really? I know.
I think it'll sell.
But it will sell anyway. If you want, I'm trying to appeal to a large group who's not analyzing things very clearly.
With a Sai Baba crystal at
that
the bottom.
That happened to be thirsty when it's 92 degrees out. With a crystal at the bottom. We got a picture and a Buddha on the table. For good measure.
And all the bases covered.
Well, the latest in sales is a memory film. What if you forget to take it? But that whole discussion was in this bandwidth right here. Physiological, brain, you know, not factoring in all of this and all of this symbolic. You know, it's a sliver.
Sliver. It's why it's...
It got real clear to me in that conversation.
Yeah. It may be useful to look at it, you know, using the word loyalty, right? So if you're loyal to body-mind as an extrusion of disparate identification, then every packet or morsel of the majesty of experience occurs to you through the lens of being a creature.
And that's what Francine was referring to, is the heaviness of believing that we're a creature and it's all up to us.
That consciousness is the consequence of biology.
Like, at all is heavy, you know?
So all of the so-called travail, if you want to call it that, on the surface of the planet, where, you know, humans are doing maybe less than the best they could possibly do to get along, if that's a bias of yours, right? You could kind of trace it back to this loyalty to creaturehood. And, you know, biologic, bacterial, viral, vying for territory.
Yeah, obsessed with health, trying not to die. I mean, the whole gamut of
food and resources.
Or even in a really simplistic, like in our society, it's really easy to see how much easier it is to operate when you really don't give a shit about a human soul that's coming to us. It doesn't matter, like you get impervious because you don't really care about that. And it's fascinating to see how insulted and upset you can get over something that hurts.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the hell of living in the persona, and I'm going to protect it. I'm going to make sure that I am wrapped in my beliefs.
That's just
you with the stamp on your forehead.
Yeah.
To make sure you.
That's just a few of the symptoms.
Sign up for my workshop, of course. But when you're free, when you really don't give a shit what anybody thinks of you, what they might say to you, like you are a lot freer. And that's not even touching on.
Well, so you're not reacting.
You're better food.
You can act.
Just the holding on to me. Like, I think I should eat.
Yeah. So the shift. Let's say loyalty is on some kind of a sine wave or an arc, right? And they use the chakras as a kind of a metaphor for that as well. If you're rooted in the root chakra, then you're a, you know, you're a crazed survivalist. Right? You're a flesh-eating survivalist. Right? And as you go up the chakra scale, you know, you become less concerned with elimination, and now you want to fuck. You know? And you keep moving up, things appear to become more refined, right? Right? You know, you got laid once or twice, and now you want to express yourself in the world through your will center, right? And then, you know, your will turns out to be not to pay the kind of dividends that you hoped it would. So now it becomes clear to you that you'd be better off if you just loved everybody. Right? And then loving everyone is like such a burden, because everyone is so filled with so many stories, I don't want to hear them anymore. So you retreat, you know, you're living through the throat center, where your compassion now does not have to be demonstrative, because you can't stand people anyway. Right? And then that's a kind of a drag, because compassion, whether it's embodied or disembodied, is just, who gives a F? And then you go to the third eye, where you're like, whoa, this is way bigger than I had ever imagined, right? And so this arc of loyalty, whether it's to, you know, creaturehood or through the chakral metaphor, becoming more and more refined, more and more relaxed, more and more untethered, when you get to the so-called seventh chakra, you know, bada boop, bada bing, bada bam, wham bam, thank you, ma'am, you know, you're out of here. I mean, there's just no loyalty remaining at all for the myth of creature. And that's what we have here. Just this.
We run a bit of havoc on law and order.
I don't know. I don't know how many more people would behave in a disorderly manner, right, if it weren't for the police and the jails and the
that. I mean, I want to say you get like that, just playing with that bizarre thing you were talking about yesterday, we get like a little DMT drink.
When
you get a little high in that manner, it does seem to sort of, you're just like, I don't know, let's just like make a fire and go to a movie, you know, because you've got a nice
if you're stoned,
DMT trip going on. You're like, I don't need to like do what do you want to do? I don't know, we should probably just like chill out.
If you're stoned, you always get busted for driving too slow.
Yeah, you know, you got a nice DMT trip going, you're generally
was
not,
I going too fast, officer?
Yeah.
No, that's not it.
No.
So there's this, you know, always available or always eligible radical departure from the myth of creature. If you're interested, right, if that tweaks your curiosity. And once you take up arms against the myth of creature, you know, you may make some, call it, progress. right? Two steps forward, one step back kind of thing.
But it's not arms against it when you do anything, because that just makes it bigger.
Yeah.
Withdraw.
Yeah, I don't think we're all through with this yet.
Oh, okay, no problem.
Thank you. So, what's happening so far?
We haven't paid because we need change.
Oh, okay.
And you? There's no change there.
Oh, and that's all we have is a 50.
Yeah, we're kind of stuck.
We're stuck in a 50.
We're
row.
Stuck in a 50.
There's 20.
Philosophy is, you know, certainly fun. I would confess my bias is that realization is more fun.
We're going for it. All right, screw realization and we'll just hang out.
That works too.
It's been pretty fun so far.
Yeah.
So, is there a reward mechanism?
Yes. Absolutely.
DMT drip.
Pain and pleasure.
Transhuman. Is there a transhuman reward mechanism?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like anything, it's always, of course there is, and hard to find.
Tuning, yeah, there is some kind of natural
from the,
tuning.
Right, within the atmosphere of creaturehood, of physicality, of felt sense, felt being subtle and gross, right? The reward mechanism is that the demand, right? The demand, you could say, of consciousness to which we respond somewhat neurotically. As Brian pointed out, as association with the pain body, as familiarity with the fruits of presence occur, then there's some kind of reward mechanism going on. You're like, wow, I didn't know that my experience could feel this way. And certainly when contrasted with you know, intense, call it imbalance, right? Intense compulsivity, intense addiction to medicate and ameliorate my own, right, schizophrenia. As one discovers that you can actually relax in presence or withdraw from the implications of one's pain body, like the rat in a maze that's given the choice between water and cocaine, you're going to hit the cocaine button each time. Yeah, so from that point of view, right, meditation, if meditation unravels a dimension of soft mind, slowing down, intimate pliability, bliss, expansivity, carefreeness. If you had any effing sense, you'd meditate again. You'd do it again.
It has a very different felt sensation of sorts, a texture, feeling, tone, whatever. I don't know what you want to call that, but it feels very different.
Yes, it's felt. Yeah.
And that can't be communicated because it's so...
As presence, you could say, ferments, as the grace of withdrawing from the implications of pain body can mature, as you begin to appreciate the felt revelation of qualitylessness, complete relaxation from referential assertion, you're going to take that up like an avocation.
here's the question that's coming up in my mind, which is, how to say that you're going to take that up,
mm-hmm.
is saying that you've experienced something in the past and you're going to look for it in the future. So how would you handle that? Because that's...
Just like that.
Naturally.
Yeah. No quarrel. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unless you want to create an elixir, then it gets complicated.
Well, it's not... there's no absolutes within this inclusive absolute. You know, so
body
and time and experience and contemplation and, you know, discovery and revelation and temporality, they're fine, they're swell, super duper. And not to quarrel with those, you know, transcendence from those as binding monikers, binding association, is also perfectly true.
The same can apply to absolutely anything.
Yes.
You're kind of floating in a bizarre virtual...
Since it's not anything, it can present as anything.
Paper.
Were it something, it would be pretty difficult for anything to happen.
There you go.
That's why it feels difficult, because you think of something that you have to do, and then it's like, that's difficult and overwhelming, because...
It's only as good as it is, because it's not anything.
Yeah.
If it were something, it would be quite the buzzkill.
Well, it seems so fixed and personal, and like little snippets of it look out, like some strange coincidences, non-linearity.
Non-linearity starts showing up, you know, in your face. And it has a reward, you could say a reward signature. Non-linearity has a reward signature appearing in your experience.
Rubber.
And you would be, you know, you would be wise, or you'll be compelled to, you know, despite how odd it sounds, return to it. Thank you, sir.
Which the funny thing is, well, I can't, you know, master the words. But there's not even any returning to it.
No, there's not.
It's like, we love you.
Yes, more like that. That's right. It's more like the way a dolphin sounds.
Yeah.
That's why they're always smiling. Hey, Waldo, this is pretty non-referential. You bet, Chucky. Let's go get some fish. I'm on your tail. I don't think the humans get it.
This is a new episode of Flipper on the way.
Yeah, right. Flipper the stoner.
The awakened dolphin. Trans dolphin.
Stoner Flipper. Starring Mark and Mindy. Well, Mindy.
Ah, yeah. Poor Mark.
Poor Mark. Cheech and Chong.
Okay.
Cheech, Chong, and Mindy. Stoner Flipper. Starring Cheech, Chong, and Mindy.
Pretty comfortable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's enough transcendence for today. That's right.
Thank you, God.